As the daily drip feed of disturbing revelations from the Royal Commission continues, the crisis for AMP is deepening. The wealth management company is facing potential investor class actions on three fronts about its failure to disclose its admissions to shareholders. And AMP share price has been badly damaged during the past week as its reputation has been trashed. Our senior business correspondent, Peter Ryan, joins us now. And Peter, which firms are gunning for AMP?
Good morning, Sabra. These are class action specialists, and their aim is to sign up enough AMP shareholders to get the backing of one of the big litigation funders before seeking federal court approval. The law firms would, of course, take a cut of any compensation they win for shareholders. So on the back of the disturbing AMP admissions, there's Slater and Gordon, the global lawyers Quinn Emanuel Urquhart and Shine Lawyers. The common thread is that AMP should have immediately disclosed the admissions to the stock exchange, such as lying to the regulator, and that the AMP board doctored a supposedly independent report to the corporate regulator ASIC. Jan Sadler is National Special Counsel with Shine Lawyers. She told me that AMP shareholders and clients have been badly misled and that, like most others, she's shocked.
Those of us who practice in this particular area of law, and by that I mean financial services class actions, are deeply distressed by what's occurring and what we're hearing and what has transpired over many years. The extent of the breaches and the extent of the wrongdoing by not one or two financial services providers in this country, but many, is incredibly shocking.
And the claim you're making is that shareholders should have been informed about the problems at AMP, in other words, full and continuous disclosure.
Yes, so there's an expectation, and the law requires that officers and directors of companies need to release to the market information that is effectively price sensitive. That is, if the information is material to the share price, then it should be released to the market so that all shareholders and the market is fully informed as to all matters that it ought to be aware of in order to ensure that the price of the shares is the correct price.
And what sort of compensation are you trying to claw back from AMP?
So shareholders are entitled to recover the difference between the share price and their investment as at the date that the disclosure ought to have been made by the directors and officers of AMP and the date that it was actually disclosed to AMP. So there's approximately 700,000 shares that were traded during that period.
But just how many AMP shareholders will you need to make this class action viable?
Any class action requires a minimum of seven people who have been affected by the breaches to be part of the class. So that's all you effectively need to be able to start a class action. But of course, many more people have been affected in this case and they should come forward and contact us.
That's Jan Sadler, National Special Counsel with Shine Lawyers. And Peter, AMP's share price has taken a battering with the reputational damage.
Yes, sir. AMP shares lost 4.4% on a single day last week when the main damaging revelations about AMP's appalling conduct hit. Yesterday, AMP lost another 3% after admitting it ignored warnings about multiple high-risk advisers. And so far this year, AMP shares have lost almost 20% of their value. Away from the Royal Commission, the future of AMP Chairman Catherine Brenner, perhaps the entire AMP board, remains in doubt. And just on today's hearings, the focus will be on the National Australia Bank when one of its top executives, Andrew Hagger, will be grilled by senior counsel assisting the Royal Commission, Rowena Orr, QC.
Thank you. The ABC senior business correspondent, Peter Ryan.